Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Adam Fleming from Fastline Services. Welcome, Adam.
Hi, how are you doing? Tom?
So best place to start, why don't you tell us a bit about what you do and who you help?
Okay, so Fastline Services Limited, we're a company that supply safety and compliance-based services to logistics primarily, although we're not limited to the warehousing industry. We provide services to industry such as manufacturing facilities, a little bit of commercial work, but mostly the warehouse environment. So we provide line marking services, impact protection. We plan out the interior of a warehouse to make sure people and assets are safe, to stop things bumping into each other and keeping people safe while they're operational, whilst being efficient at doing so. Because obviously they're working 365, 24/7, most of these places.
Okay, brilliant. I can imagine that's an industry that's booming at the moment, and it's only going to get bigger as we need more warehousing space, right?
Yeah, I think since our inception in October 2016, there's been a huge increase in large sheds, as they well know. And the infrastructure around it's changing, you know, so the industry is a vibrant one. It's a great one to work in because it's constantly changing, but it's ever increasing for sure. With the introduction of all the automation these days, so the flow of goods, the high streets on the decline. The .com is where people are purchasing, the Amazons of this world, and various other large organizations that we serve. They're not slowing down; it's increasing.
And so, just so I understand where you fit into it, so do you work with like a pallet racking company, for example, to make sure that they're compliant with health and safety? Is that who your client would be?
Not necessarily, although we do work with some pallet racking companies. So they would be considered the third party who would subcontract to us, if you like. So they look after their own compliance side of their management of their own projects. But where we could help pallet racking companies is with the impact protection around the pallet racking. So we tend to specify the polymer side of impact protection because it absorbs the impact rather than damaging the concrete, and it might be a little bit more costly up front, but the long-term benefits are massive. So we would work closely with design fit-out companies, pallet racking companies, and where on a turnkey solution, where there might be a large installation of pallet racking, but our core business is generally with the end user, with the warehouse themselves, so like Amazon, Aldi, Lidl, those type of companies.
So going back, you founded the business in 2016.
Yeah.
Perhaps you can share a bit about the journey you've been on since then. So presumably it was just you, maybe a business partner. How did you get started and how have you evolved into what you are today? So before we press record, you said you've got now a team of 10 people and you're looking to continue growing. So perhaps you can share a bit of that.
Okay, yeah. So in 2016, I was sort of acting as a consultant, if you like, within the industry. And a job offer came my way to manage a fairly large contract, well, it wasn't the contract, but a fairly large job for one of the large distribution companies. And having thought about that process and not necessarily looking for a job, I negotiated with the company to deliver that for them as my own business. So that project then was agreed and off we went, and that generated some revenue for the company that we started, which was called Fastlane. At that time it was me managing subcontracted labor and project managing. That was the business model. And then I went on to develop different processes within the industry to align it with the need of the customer. So rather than just going to the one-stop type materials that were on the market, it was like, let's look at how we can improve it. Can we improve the speed of it? Can we improve the technicalities of it? Can we improve on the downtime and disruption to the customer? Those little nuances. So, and invariably we did that. So by doing that, we were then, we were getting some reputation in the industry for quality and delivery of services. Then just to fast track that a little bit, because obviously we went in February of 2017, we moved into our first office, because I had a decision to make. Are we going to fly this ship, or, you know, what are we going to do? You know, because it was a junction. Do we carry on with a new business and run it, or do I do something different? Because at that time it was just one project. So that project dried up, and then employed a couple of guys to help with the infrastructure and line marking side of things. And off we went on that journey. So again, I've got an engineering background, so I was looking at not just line marking. That was one element of it. We were moving into a core drilling and so concrete and surfacing repairs business. One of the problems within the warehouse.
Do you mean you were providing the health and safety services on the concrete and repairs part, or you're actually doing the concrete part?
Doing the repair. So we were going to do an assessment of the floor, have a look at mostly Irish joints and transitional joints and cuts, saw cuts in the surface where fault truck traffic just damaging the surface. So and we were doing remedial works on those things, creating anti-slip surfacing, and it started to evolve. You know, we started to add products to the offering, and then we were doing steady work up until sort of obviously the COVID period, and we just prior to that, we started to pick up some partnership work with impact protection companies. And those impact protection companies obviously have a need for, they're measuring the same lines that we're measuring for line marking their products. And we decided that we would link up with those companies and offer installation services. So we were then providing installation services as well, and we were recruiting them for installers. So we were growing and being known for a mechanical installation company with a flavor for the warehouse environment. So we then, maintaining our trajectory within the warehouse scene, if you like, because we could speak their language, we understand their problems, and we tailored everything we did towards warehouse safety and operational efficiency. That's our criteria, not just health and safety and compliance. So we weren't looking at policies and things like that. We were actually looking at, right, what's happening on site? How do we improve it? Can we improve it whilst improving efficiency? You know, and not just from I will sell you some barriers or we'll sell you some line marking. It's let's look at the solution best situation. Apologies if you hear some banging in the background. We've got some
banging. Everything. All good.
So the and then obviously we were starting to then get into some larger organizations through as a third party subcontractor, let's say. And as we were growing and getting reputation, we started to pick up some tender work coming in, and we were able to then apply for those tenders. Early on, we wanted to be recognized as a quality business. So we were registered with ISO 9001. 14001, Safe Contractor, EcoVadis, and what's the other one? I'll come back to that one. I can control it then. and a vetter. And those platforms, if you like, to jump through all those hoops to just demonstrate that we do things right. And then the next major milestone really was we partnered with the ASAFE to become a reseller for ASAFE. They're a large manufacturer of, in fact, the largest manufacturer of impact protection in the world. And we're very proud to be able to offer that as a product. It's the, and we offer installation services around that as well. So then coming back to the COVID situation, COVID landed, and obviously we couldn't put people in vans because of the bubble situation and all that, as we all know what happened. So literally we had to make a decision on what direction the business was going to go. It was worrying. But myself and my wife decided that, right, well, we'll jump in a van. We'll get our hands dirty. We'll do everything ourselves. So that's exactly what we did. We worked literally around the clock to keep the business going, picking up any bits of work that we could pick up. And that, I think during that time, that gave us a lot of credibility that we were the people on the ground, because, you know, we're not spring chickens anymore. And we were doing the work of the young guys and on our hands and knees, and doing the hard graft. And it is hard graft occasionally, you know. But we were doing it. We did a great job. And that then, it did us a lot of favors throughout that period, because we were working with some of the larger names in the industry, and we gained a bit of respect for that. And that then led on to further work. And here we are now in almost 10 years in, and everything's in a position where we've grown into a nice platform.
Yeah.
We've got a great customer base. We're servicing it well. And we're now recruiting for more people. We are, we've just renovated our new offices, which, you know, all branded, and we've got a new mezzanine here to double the floor space. We've really invested back into our infrastructure to make it a good place to work. And so it's in a position of readiness for the next stage of growth.
Absolutely. So you've got 10 full-time employees at the moment, is that right?
That's correct.
Brilliant. And is the plan to carry on growing organically, gradually adding to your headcount?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a family-run business, which is important to mention, is that we, you know, myself, my wife, my stepdaughter and stepson, and there's one more in the pipeline to join us later, eventually scope. So, that's the core element of the business. In terms of organic growth, absolutely. We're looking to, obviously we're recruiting right now, to embellish the sales team. And we're looking for some strong, you know, A-player type leaders who can come in and make a difference. We've got a good culture, so we look after people. You know, through the difficult times of when you get ebbs and flows in a small business, you know, yeah, we're not a hire and fire organization. We're structured in such a way that it supports people when things aren't going great, you know. And it's difficult when you're a small business to, in that period of growth, especially when you're service led, when the trends of business change, you know. So it's a case of just being very careful with that, so you're not top heavy.
Exactly. But it is certainly a balancing act, isn't it? Especially when it comes to the likes of cash flow, as you need to balance growth, growth with your cash, and you need to make sure that you hire in a way that means that you're not going to put yourself into a difficult position cash flow wise at some point in the next, let's say, 6-12 months or whatever. But at the same time, focusing on getting new business and building the pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the questions we get asked quite frequently is, you know, what is it you don't do? You know, because we do an awful lot of services and products these days. And it's not just a case of we just say yes to everything and then wing it. We don't do that. We've carefully selected a lot of suppliers, and we vet them carefully to make sure we're providing a wide range of services that, you know, ultimately, if a warehouse needs infrastructure changes. They need to look at health and safety. And, you know, we've got most of that covered, if not all of it.
Yeah.
You know, we've got partners who can do the racking. We've got partners who can do various elements of robotics and automation. You know, so we're definitely focusing in that direction these days because that's the way the industry is going. And we've partnered with, you know, for such a small family-run business, we've partnered with some pretty big names who are interested in our direction.
Yeah.
Which is a testament to the people that work here. You know, we're getting recognized, and that recognition means a lot to us.
Yeah. So this podcast is all about making connections and helping you build your network and building that network of the audience as well. So who or what type of person would you like to be introduced to who could help you grow your business or who you might be able to help in return?
Sure. I did quite a lot of interacting with people I'm quite prolific on LinkedIn. I think I'm personally about 10,500 connections and followers, and I'm regularly attending networking events where there's not just the generic stuff, real sharing of information and helping each other. The kind of people I want to meet, the customer base to type people that we'd like to meet are, I'd like to understand the pain points and problems of warehouse managers, warehouse safety managers, CEOs of the warehousing businesses, you know, large and small. I'd like to understand their pain points so I could develop further into that. And we're not to be seen just a sales company. We really want to make a difference. So understanding the real business case, it would be useful for me. In terms of the connections, I mean, people like yourself, you know, we're in a position of growth, you know, so, and where a small business wouldn't necessarily employ a full-time CFO or a CTO or a CEO, using fractional engagement with those services, I think is key to progress. And obviously we lean into AI a little bit and cross-reference those things. And I've built my own board of people or agents, let's say, that has got an element of philosophy built into it. So it will think and give me back feedback and question my direction, which is a key element to it.
Yeah. So yeah, I really admire the ambitious plans you've got for the business, and we'll make it very easy for anyone who's listened to this and thinks that they, you know, want to have a chat with you to contact you. So we'll put a link to your LinkedIn and also a link to the website in the show notes. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience?
I think, from a business perspective, I think the more people share, the more people engage, and the more people collaborate, I think great things happen. I think it's when people stick on the same trajectory and you know, don't see the opportunity. There's lots of opportunity there to be had in both ways, you know, and it's not always a take. It's very much a give and take. We definitely, as a business, give back. We've been very fortunate to get some funding from the government for various aspects of our business. We don't just take that for granted. We give something back, so every now and again we will do charitable work locally to support the local community that's giving us the money to help us grow. So, and equally, I invest my time in helping the smaller businesses than ourselves, who might be, you know, startups going into schools and lecturing. We've done that on entrepreneurship and really sort of engaging with kids to show they've got another avenue rather than just college or university. You know, some people are not wired up that way. Funnily enough, I'll just touch on a point. I did a presentation at school to a number of classes, and there was one kid sitting at the back, really quiet, and you could tell she was a young girl, and she was you could tell that she was really, really listening, and she was really wanting to speak. I could just tell her. And at the end of the class, she waited until everyone had gone. And she came to me. She said, "How do I start a business? I've got a great idea."
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was like, okay. I said, so I sat down. I said, "What's your idea?"
Yeah.
And she gave me this idea. And I thought, wow. What? That is a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm not going to share with you just yet, but it was a really good idea around coaching, about sports coaching.
Wow.
And I said, it's an awesome idea. I said, tell you what, I said, obviously, have a word with your parents. And I said, if you and your parents would like to spend a couple of hours talking through that idea and mapping it out, I would more than happily do that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Amazing. Yeah, I bet that felt good to be able to give back in that way.
It was great, yeah. It was, and it's just the thing, you know, you only have to change one person.
Yeah.
And new things happen, and it's great.
Brilliant. Adam, well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. As I said, we'll make it very easy for anyone to get in touch with you.
Cool.
And I wish you and the business all the best going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.